Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of cleaning power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in the store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Ass sliding, hell tracks, and bike boogieing. We saw rad, so you know what that means.
Cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal, Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! What's up, Chicago? Amazing! We are live in Chicago with a fucking electric audience. They only make one noise and it's that. So laughter, it will just be. If we say something offensive, it will just be. Get used to it. Ride the volume controls if you're listening at home. Tonight, we are talking about a crime. And the crime that we are talking about is the fact that this movie has never been released in a format that you can get. So if you have found it, we have given you links to find it. A big hats off to Pete, the S-Man, who put it up on Vimeo for us. We appreciate it. We appreciate it. The people behind Rad appreciate it. We're gonna get into all this and more, but tonight we need to introduce my co-host. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks? How we doing, Chicago?
Wow. I'm not gonna lie, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's an amazing crowd.
Jason, Rad, did you see it in theaters?
I am the age that would make sense.
Yeah.
Did it come out in theaters?
It did come out in theaters.
Okay, I didn't see it.
It made hundreds of dollars.
I didn't see it. I saw the BMX movie that Nicole Kidman was in.
Ooh, what was that?
What is it? BMX Bandits, thank you.
Okay.
Oh, if you want to see a... Guys, lights down, give me the screen. We're just going to play that for the next 2 hours? I would straight up watch a back-to-back set of movies with you fucking maniacs of BMX Bandits and Rad again. Just so you could get a taste of teenage Nicole Kidman BMX bike racing.
Just quickly.
Yes, Paul.
Which
yes.
is better?
Which is better? Rad. I'll be honest, this movie was awesome.
This movie has been, we've been told, I've been sent gift packages, I've been sent t-shirts to do this movie.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You've been sent gift packages?
Yeah, like that is, I have a shirt that says Rad Racing,
what?
Like just like this.
Oh, that's cool.
I got sent DVDs.
Wait, you didn't get sent three?
Look, they know who opens the mail, so.
We did
all get DVDs, but numerous times over the year, this movie has come up. I'm so glad that we waited until tonight to talk about it, because again, it's impossible to find. But here's someone who also, in her youth, was a BMX bicycle bandit. Sponsored by Coca-Cola, my other co-host, June Diane Raphael! Welcome, June.
Hi, Paul. How are you? You know, I was thinking about this movie. And sometimes Paul will tell me it's on iTunes or it's you're going to find it on Amazon or Hulu. And I've noticed now there's a pattern. There's something very bad is about to come when it's been loaded onto my computer and is like a quick player file. And I feel like it's from somewhere. I don't know where it came from. But that's how I viewed this movie.
Yeah. I sent June a Dropbox link, then went into her computer, downloaded the Dropbox link, and then put it on your main screen. And it will remain on the main screen of your computer.
Oh, forever.
Forever.
That's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
it will never. Anytime soon.
As every document you've ever written.
Yeah, all
is
on
still
the main
there.
Screen.
I would love it if every time I get an email from you from now on, in a tiny window on screen, Rad is just playing. And you're like, how do I turn this off? It's just in a loop.
From the moment that first bike flew into frame.
Yeah.
I felt so upset.
Wow, you knew you upset. Were in the presence of greatness?
I did not like this motion picture. Now,
well,
it's not the first
June, why?
It's not the first bicycle movie we've done. Right? There was another like cross-country biking. Yeah. Special sport biking. I don't know.
I think it might be the first bicycle movie that we have done.
There's the
we have done
there's
movies
the
about
roller
hackers.
Skates in Solar Babies.
Yeah. There's
I could have sworn there was like a competitive X game biking.
Triple X.
Thank
sort
you.
Of.
X.
Sort of.
Yeah. I mean, that's where they graduate
too.
Of
course, the balcony knows Triple X. Balcony, and what's up?
I want a big shout out to Vin Diesel for buying a ticket tonight. You're a good guy up there and getting the word out. Well, June, you're the perfect person to talk to about this movie because I feel like this movie, people, 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, this movie. 91%.
I would argue,
but
too low.
No.
Too low, I say.
Those are joke ratings.
90,
those aren't real.
91 on the audience, on critical, zero. Zero. It's the largest discrepancy between critical and audience reception in the entire database.
That's what I'm talking about. We got to get these critics out of here, and we got to get the people reviewing all movies. And we need to give BMX to all the kids now.
And now I want to start at the beginning. What does BMX mean? What is that?
Wow. Such a good question.
What is it? What does it mean?
You know what? Let's try and crack this. I'm going to say it's bicycle.
Yeah, bicycle.
Motor cross.
Where's the motor?
BM.
What's the motor? Where is it?
Oh, I think it's because it's motocross, but which is a motorcycle event with bicycles, so they just put the B on the front of it.
So bicycle, but we don't motocross.
But you don't go to MX.
Right.
You're not like, are you going to go to the MX races this week? No, man, I can't go. I have jury duty. What? But didn't you commit a felony a number of years ago? You can't be a juror. They don't know that, brother. Hang with me, guys. This is a long story.
I mean, it doesn't... BMX stands for here. I'm looking online. And you're right, bicycle motocross or bicycle, it's a form of cycling.
Motocross or motocross.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a form of cycling especially designed for bicycles, which usually have an 18 to 24 inch wheels. And the sport includes racing on earthen tracks known as BMX racing.
Okay.
And yes.
So, from what I understand...
I don't know if that's 100% right, as the person who wrote that had a gerbil as their... the identifier.
So this is where I guess I got confused. Have these bicycles specifically been created to ride off-road? Have they been created to just do these types of races and tricks?
Wait, you didn't have like a BMX bike growing up, and that wasn't a thing growing up?
I've heard of them before.
It was... quite possibly the most important thing I wanted to own
was a
BMX bike. I 100%. Did a paper route for years to save up money to buy a mongoose bike that I didn't get. I wanted a GT bike there in this, but I got the mongoose because it was cheaper.
I got a mongoose too. I was very excited about the mongoose. And I got a mongoose scooter. In addition,
whoa.
Yeah. Look,
fuck, dude.
I was.
I didn't realize you
popping.
Were.
By the way, BMX stunts. This whole movie is directed by a stuntman, Hal Needham, who's known for like every great thing, like Smokey and the Bandit, and
is the Needham
Hooper.
Family here? It was such a localized few number of people that it is quite possible his extended family is here. If you are the children of Hal Needham, please stand up and take credit for his work, especially Smokey and the Bandit and Hooper.
Highest paid stuntman ever. But stunts in BMX, I will say I was not impressed by a lot of the stunts.
I would say this. I felt like the racing was tepid at best.
I feel like I saw way more bike dancing.
That's, yes.
Than
yes.
bike riding.
And I was going to say, I thought the bike dancing was electric. Most importantly, at the town-wide dance.
It seemed like it was a prom that everyone went to.
People were like asking like a girl to the prom type of thing. But then at the dance, there were like grown-ups just hanging around drinking.
Secret drinking. And then the BMX kids show up too. There's a lot of issues. We'll get into that bike dance thing.
That bike dance thing, I rewound and watched again.
We got it all.
Because I was so flummoxed by the dance. And then it transforms magically when the bicyclists come in and dance on bikes. Guys, I found it very romantic.
That
By the way, that's the takeaway from the movie. Come for the stunts, leave for the romance.
Yes.
It does romance so well. It shows all the stages, falling in love, throwing them in water, getting dry, and then throwing them in water again.
It was crazy. I've never seen two grown people just walk into water fully clothed that many times.
He's like, you want to go see something? He takes her to ass sliding, which I'm not even kidding, is legitimately sewage runoff. They are in a cement slide that is not for fun, so must be to carry solid waste from a tunnel to a body of water. These kids get pink eye.
I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe that's why they have to keep their clothes on.
That's right. And that's why, like, they can't ever get caught because nobody thinks, like, well, they're probably out at the shit slide. Like, why would you? That is, it is so crazy, the visual of it. And then they are soaking wet for the rest of the day.
But then you think, okay, well, I'll justify that the day just took them there, and they both said, fuck it. We won't take off our shoes or our pants or our heavy sweats.
Just a beat about the clothes they're wearing. Please know, it's not like, oh, a t-shirt.
Right.
It's like,
it's not summer
heavy
wear.
80s fabric that doesn't breathe at all.
Yeah.
And like pleats. And
oh, so many pleats.
Yeah, like,
it's like
trousers.
It's like six metric yards of fabric make up Lori Loughlin's pants.
Yet she is dry moments later. I at least edit the montage to be like, and then they get wet and then the date is over. Like, they're dry. But so I'll forgive the ass sliding as a one-time thing. But later in the movie, what happens? Let's go do bike tricks and flip into the water? These motherfuckers can't stay out of water.
They can't.
I think it's
once they put all their clothes on, they're at a real risk for just flying into a body of water.
About Hal Needham, and again, just a tip of the hat to the Hal Needham family over there.
Right over here in the Needham seats. The Needham family, large supporters of this theater for many years.
They love live theater and stunts. But there was something that was so interesting about it. Stunts on the bike, and a lot of them are just like bouncing up and down
on
a wheel well.
Bouncy.
The most unattractive, uncool thing to just see someone like,
I gotta tell
you. It's like,
Paul, I
guess
I think visually you don't want to do that anymore.
Guys.
I know what you're trying to embody, but without the bike, it's weird.
Or is it? I'm in Chicago for just a little time. People, that's the way I move. Dancing, sexually, everything.
Chicago, everybody's getting freaky tonight.
That's why I felt so turned off by BMX riders and riding and the sport in general.
You weren't sexually into crew at all?
Oh, my God. All of the bike riders made me feel embarrassed.
What do you think is a more valid expression of self, breakdancing or BMX bike dancing?
Honestly, that's a tough one.
Both of them require a lot of effort and energy. They both are hard.
Both of them I took classes at the YMCA.
I'm actually going to say... I'm going to say now that
I... My child was sad.
Now that I understand there is like a price point to having a BMX bike and that you probably had to be wealthy enough to get one, then I definitely... We'll side with breakdancing and say it's a more valid form of expression.
All right.
All you need is a piece of cardboard.
Yep.
And you're good to go.
Yeah, you're good to go. This movie also, I think, there's a lot of issues with it, one being the lighting. and so much so that at different points, I'm like, what's going on here? Like, am I going blind? Why is it so pink? Then why is it so dark? Like, in the opening sequence... when they're doing that paperboy route, I'm like, what's happening
here?
Well,
the crazy thing about you were a paperboy, Jason.
I was, so...
Okay. I'm going to try to be as diplomatic
careful.
As I can. I know.
Be careful. I deliver the daily evening item.
I hear you. I'm going to.
There's some.
I'm going to be really careful.
The pink sky.
Yeah. But here's this looks like some sort of Chernobyl shit.
Yeah.
I was like, is this post-apocalyptic?
But aren't papers...
I feel like what they did was they shot it during the day, and they're like, we have to make it
day
look early. They have to make it look early, like 6 a.m., but someone just said, let's make it pink. I mean, it's pink. And then it's perfectly daylight.
Oh, wait a minute. My DVD was better than this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this
DVD
is really,
was
mine was
this
better
dark.
Than this,
oh,
too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
My link. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Something's
it's
up
still,
with
you
this.
Guys didn't get this.
The pink was still there.
Yeah, but it wasn't this
but you could tell more what was happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, my question about this paper route. So, from what I understand, and Jason, you know, chime in.
I am right here for you, June.
Okay, papers, the daily newspaper is usually delivered first thing.
Right.
You got it.
7 a.m.? 6 a.m.?
6 a.m.
What time do you head out?
He was,
6 a.m.?
Yeah,
I had an evening paper route, purposefully, because I'm not a morning person, even as a child. But I think, no, kids used to go out, like, go and pick up papers at 4 and be delivering by 5.
Yeah.
Right, because he delivers his last paper at 7:15.
Okay. That town is not up and awake and out and about and in their jobs, all of them, by 7:15 in the morning.
You think that's a problem?
That's the only problem I saw in this movie.
Well,
so
that
if that
I
just had been addressed, everything else worked
Everything
for you.
Else, I would have been on board with.
I have a larger problem than the people being out and about was the fact that it seemingly was that his route was just to find the people and give them the paper. If at their job, if over here. It didn't look like there was any houses he was hitting. He was just randomly finding the person. So I was impressed on that level of paperboy. Like, I was like, oh, fuck it. This guy's
right.
not even doing houses.
Yeah.
Like, the garbage truck man's like, nah, late.
Oh.
Got my paper. Now yeah. let me hoist you up on my garbage truck to save you some time?
So he can jump over the fence? That was crazy. That garbage man could literally lose his job. For parking on the side of the road just to boost the kid up 6 feet.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you, I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, that combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's 2 in a pack. Shop Reese's peanut butter cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
There's also a great moment in this opening, the paperboy route, where you, I think this is like a remnant of old 80s movies where parents can be like real assholes. Oh, by the way, just to talk about it, this is a kid delivering the paper to 2 people in a boat. Yeah, 2 people in a boat.
But hang on, those guys live in that boat.
I think that's not even a houseboat, it's a rowboat. A small, and they're like, all right, there we go.
Firemen go by?
Yeah, firemen.
So you're telling me the firemen go by every day at that time, all in the truck geared up for a fire, or they're on their way to a fire but still want the paper?
Is crew maybe an arsonist in disguise? He sets a fire every day to kind of just make sure he gets those paper boys?
Sorry, go ahead, June.
No, I'm understanding now why the town really comes around to rally behind him later on in the film, because I didn't understand it, and now I'm remembering he really tried to get those papers to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It does make sense.
He's like very committed to it. I do want to say, fashion-wise, and I'd love to open the table to discuss fashion with you, June. First of all, Cruz rocking the Chachi bandana around the thigh.
Yeah.
Look, I feel like they were trying. I felt like, and I'm not sure, because maybe they hired crew because he could do, because he is doing a fair amount of bike, the dancing stuff. You know, he can do tricks, I mean. So maybe they hired him for that reason. But he does look a lot like Scott Baio.
Yes.
And they're dressing him like Scott Baio, and they're putting like the Chachi kind of bandana around his leg. And I'm going to now just use that as a segue into both talking about his fashions, but also the fashions of the twins.
I am obsessed.
I want to talk about nothing yeah. but those twins.
Yeah. The rest of this podcast is going to be devoted only to the twins.
Those guys that when I saw them in a movie, I was like, I want to look like those guys.
Those guys.
I don't
want to
look like this kid. I want to look like those guys.
They were like straight up G.I. Joe from the 80s cartoon villains. Remember those characters like Zemo and Tomax? Like they one had a scar on one side and the other had a scar on the other side. Like they were dressed in outfits that I don't think were ever popular. Like,
oh yes, with like a flap that went down here.
Yeah.
That's a jumpsuit. Holy shit.
Their outfit was in the shape of a V. It was like a, yeah, it was crazy.
In general though, I feel like the 80s was obsessed with twins. Like, there yes. was sort of a cultural obsession
yes.
and a fetishization
there was the
Doubleman of twins.
Twins was a big thing.
Yeah.
The Double Trouble twins, of course, my first sexual awakening.
Double Trouble, great show.
Great show. I mean, you want to reboot a show, reboot Double Trouble. I'm in.
But they're also, like, I feel like the twins are not necessarily evil as much as they're just showboats. Like, they're, like, yeah. like they're... I mean, I would say that there's a whole issue as far as like who's bad and who's good in this town, because there really is no conflict to speak of more than that one person is the success.
The twins and Bart Connor. Wait, is Bart Connor Gymkhana?
No.
No,
okay. Actually, this guy...
Who is he?
Well, I will tell you that this guy was an Olympic gymnast.
He is a gymnast, right?
Yeah.
Who is Gymkhana? The other Bart
Kurt
Thomas.
Yeah.
Okay. But close, right? So they're not from this town, right?
No.
They're all out of towners.
Okay.
They're coming here because this is going to put this town on the map. This hick town that is so not hick. Like, they treat this town like, I'm surprised the roads are paved. Like, really? It looks like every regular-sized small town.
Especially, I feel like if you have a BMX bike there, it's not a, podunk town. If you could get that bicycle in a 10-mile radius, like, that's kind of a cool town.
Yep. So you think it's probably maybe the coolest town.
Probably. I couldn't even keep track, though, of, like, all the fat cats and all of the, like, interpersonal relationships. I just knew I didn't care. But I couldn't keep track of who was who and who was the mayor and why they wanted this here.
They were trying to create the Super Bowl. Like, the Super Bowl would now be in their small town because everyone around the world, this is going to air on as many screens as the Super Bowl in their mind.
Wait, they said that?
Yeah. He said, this is our Super Bowl.
The airing of the Helltrack race?
Yes.
Which was, at best, passable as a race.
I have to say, that's the thing that upset me the most. The qualifying race seemed more interesting and harder.
Yes.
A lot harder.
And I'm sorry, the qualifying races. I feel like I watched 700 laps.
Well, they would...
It was in real time. I was like, is this now just a documentary about this race?
And the announcer talks a big game at the beginning of each race, but then stops narrating the race as it's going on. Like, did he win? It didn't look like he won. It wasn't a...
I had no idea what that qualifying race was. And then they'd send another 10 off, and you just watch the whole thing again.
And then the people who are actually racing in Helltrack, they're also qualifying, but they're coming there to race Helltrack. Isn't this just for the people who want to get, like...
So was the qualifying race just for the townspeople?
No. I believe the qualifying race was to get it down to a final number, a final race of 10, because there were so many entrants.
1,000.
They had to qualify.
1,000.
Well,
and I feel like we watched every
single one of them.
Of the qualifyings.
And
we watched 1,000
I believe I watched 1,000 people do that.
Well, by the way,
I believe it.
I definitely know we were introduced to 1,000 bicyclists for the actual Helltrack.
That was amazing. One of their nicknames was Hollywood.
Can I just play that for one?
Just play that intro.
This is introducing every racer. It is, if you're listening at home, just picture a very nonplussed face for every name. You're not missing any visual. You're not, maybe a wave, visual.
Maybe like mild irritation even.
Yeah.
Here's the starting field. Riding for Team Hutch from Canada, Jeff Ingram. For Team Robinson from San Diego, Richard Fleming. Robert Lou from Los Angeles for DK Racing. The Powerlife racer, Danny Millweed. From the Red Line team, from Torrance, California, Scott Clark. Canada.
By the way, that guy looks like he's 40. But let's
a number of these people do. By the way, so does Crew.
Well, this is also like 80s movies where all the teens look like they're middle-aged people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mark Behan is qualified for North Bowen Super Soccer. Mark Naparijo for GT. Glenn Adams out of Utah will be riding for Bayham Bikes. The pedal power rider is Chris Phoenix. For Team Robinson, it's Travis Chipraise. For Team GT, Eddie Fiola. As well as Kevin Hall from Texas.
It's still going.
For the Skyways team, it's Richie Anderson. Riding for Vans is Vito Rosecrans from Honolulu. And for Team Hutch Hollywood, Michael Team Mongoose qualifies three riders, the Reynolds twins, Rod and Rex, out of Bayshore, Long Island. The number one rider in the nation, Florida's Mark Taylor. Taylor's the independent, the privateer for Rad Racing Crew Joe.
I was so excited during that sequence because the two twins are from my hometown.
Really?
Bayshore, New York. No one is from
that.
Bayshore, New York. I was like, yeah, we got twin bad guys.
Ask, are they actual BMX dudes?
When I go home for the holidays, I'm gonna find out.
We watched that whole segment. Every single one of those riders was mentioned. They got a straight ahead shot on them. Not one of them waved normally at all. Nobody could just give a cool wave. Everybody waved somehow weirdly.
Yeah.
If you've ever heard of that.
Uncomfortably.
If you've ever heard of that, like that book or that website, it was like Awkward Family Photos, right? It is the encapsulation of this in video form. No
awkward
one looks
BMX
ready.
Videos.
No one looks ready for it. People seem upset that it's happening. You caught everybody at the wrong moment. It's like, I'm in the middle. Oh, hi. I'm back. I just gotta get back.
And they're all in direct sunlight.
Yeah.
Fun fact about the final race, the film built the wall that they start on too high, and all the professional racers were like, no, we're not doing this. And they had to kind of like shuttle production for like 2 weeks to lower the hell track. The hell track was too high.
Can you imagine if like 11 BMX racers were killed on this film?
One broke their leg. We saw him. He had the broken leg that they high-five. He was one of the stuntmen.
Oh, really?
Listen, let me ask. As BMX bikers...
Yeah, sure.
It's pronounced BM experts.
As BM experts.
All right. That's enough.
Did you recognize any of these faces?
I did not.
No.
I did not.
I would argue, though, if you showed me today's best BMXers... I don't know. Matt Mira? Was there? No, that's no. That he hosts James Bonding podcast.
Wait, are you just promoting Matt Mira?
James Bonding Myra? Podcast. No, but wasn't there one like that was like, what's his name, Matt? Shit, that one. So,
why do all you shitheads know BMX racers?
What?
Wait, how many people are here tonight, not because you like our podcast, but just because you love BMX racing and heard this was about...
These people come and find it. The rad fans are so into this movie. I wish they'd be a little bit more into it because when they did start a Kickstarter just to raise, what were they trying to raise? they wanted to crowdfund a documentary about the film called 25 Years Later, a rad retrospective. It did not reach the goal.
I am heartbroken to hear that.
But there is a hell track being built right now, and there's going to be a hell track somewhere in the country. Someone sent me the flyer for it.
For real?
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
I want to go in that big bowl of cereal.
Yeah, I was looking forward to the hell track and seeing what types of, you know, obstacles there were going to be. But it did feel like, man, they spent a lot of time trying to keep Cruise out of this. They should have used that time and energy building more fun things for these BMX guys.
I would argue, too, that the bummer of BMX racing in this format is that they're just doing the same thing over and over again. And they didn't even, like, change what was happening. It was like, oh, they made it.
Yeah.
Oh, they made it.
Uh-oh, some guys fell.
And what I really didn't like about this film is
you can fall, and it's okay.
Oh, just get back up.
Yeah.
And you can go, you can also jump on either side of an obstacle in front of you. Like that tub that you have to go in and ride the thing out of, bowl of cereal or whatever. Some people just rode around it.
Easy enough.
You don't have to get in single file line and everybody ride the spoon out. So why ride the spoon at all?
And the thing that really annoyed me is that there were no differences in types of racers. So Cruz, was he a good BMX racer?
It's in his blood. I mean, as Lori Loughlin said, he's got something.
Did you see anything different in his style than anyone else's?
Absolutely not.
There was nothing I was connected to about his type of racing.
I'd argue that he didn't even show me anything that exciting besides bike dancing.
He was
a great bike dancer.
He was a great bike dancer. You know, but that's the thing is, I wish that the whole movie had been reversed and that we might have seen the big race or whatever, but that you really see him come into his own at the dance at the end of the movie.
That's
where
interesting.
Where he's done the racing, which is a big bucket of who cares, right? I mean, I get it. But he really has to, if he's going to get the girl, he has to win her on with his moves, you know? His moves on the bike, on the dance floor.
I'm down for that.
I mean, the most disappointing part was at the very end of the race, there was no special move that won him that race.
He simply
got a little bit further.
And kind of didn't even get to that point. The lead guy, our main hero, is like,
oh, yeah.
I need to stop and wait up for him.
Okay.
But and to what end?
Yes.
Because isn't the thing a race? So why would you ever go like, let me let him catch up and then we'll really see who wins?
Yes.
No. You're racing. When you're ahead,
so I
you keep
think,
on going.
But I think that that was his plan all along.
To throw
to
the
lose?
Race?
Yeah.
You think Bart Connor wanted to lose the race to
yes,
Cruz?
I do.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
he...
Okay, Hal Needham's family.
Yeah, because I think there was something not sitting well with him knowing that he was, you know, essentially
a pawn,
the property.
Yep.
Yeah, and he joined in with the team at the very end.
Well,
he didn't want to be there.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I had an issue with the number one BMX biker not competing, which was kind of thrown to the side. Like, Lori Loughlin, like, she's like, he's like, why do you have that number one? She's like, well, self-explanatory, right? I'm the best. And then they go in the park and they jump up on stuff. But when he goes like, why aren't you in the Hell Track? This weird explanation, which is so bizarre. It's like, it's so odd to be like, she came to town then to what? She's not competing. She just says,
I didn't get a chance to thank you for the dance last night.
You're welcome.
You took off so quick, I thought maybe there was something about me you didn't like.
No, no, that's not it.
Can you pause for a second?
You know, you really...
He's giving her nothing. He's giving her nothing. This is the day after the bike dance. This is the day of the ass slide, I believe. This
yeah.
is like love. And she's saying, I thought you didn't like me. And he's like, no. Blah, 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 blah. He might as well be a sack of potatoes pushing a bike.
But don't you feel that, like, Lori Loughlin, is that how you pronounce her name? Like, and if it isn't, oh, that's what I'll say. that Lori, like, her whole career has been, like, being better than her male counterpart, ultimately.
Always.
With the exception of Stamos.
Stamos, the two of them, though, I swear to God, these motherfuckers are vampires.
They
Something's
look so
up.
Good.
She
Something's
looks,
up.
I mean, it's crazy. She looks better now, and
I
she's
know.
Beautiful there. I don't know
all right,
what's
so
going on.
Here we go.
Good on that bike. You picked up that move like that.
Well, I didn't have much of a choice, did I? So you're going to ride Hell Track?
No. No, I kind of wish I could, but I still race for trophies. See, my factory sent me here for kind of a show and tell thing.
What?
So.
Okay.
What? I race for trophies. Okay, so that's a Corvette race,
race
I guess.
For
that's
trophies.
So she's. I think is she saying she's like still competing on a circuit that is like the Olympic version of this?
That like
and that this is like. Pro sports?
I mean, listen.
They spend millions.
They do a lot of stunt wigging in this movie.
Oh, yeah, that. I
and
have that.
And they clearly made no attempt to find a woman who could ride a bicycle.
Yeah.
No attempt. Like, I find it hard to believe that there was not one woman in all the land that could have done some of her stunts.
Agree.
How is that possible?
I mean, there should be at least one, right?
There should be one female BMX racer who could have done this.
Isn't that on your special skills on your resume?
I'm trying to find. All right, so this is.
Just look for any scene that she's in with a bicycle
yeah, this
because
is,
it's
this
not
is basically,
her. It's a man.
Just look. If you just watch Lori's hair, here we go.
Like, that is just
the body
a, broad,
type is
a broad-shouldered man.
Yeah, that's just a man.
Here we go, some more.
In like a Marlo Thomas wig.
That's her face. That's her female body. That's his riding on normal ground. Okay.
Okay, there's him.
This is crew. Into the water. And this is a man going into the water.
That's a man, all right.
Like,
what if she's like a BMX vampire? Like when she rides, she turns into her body turns into a man.
I mean, the thing that's really disturbing, though, so not only do they just not find anyone to do her stunts, but then they just take her storyline away completely.
Like, oh, yeah.
The character can't even be a rider.
No, she's
yeah.
not allowed.
It's crazy.
She's not allowed. It would be unseemly.
In the grand scheme of things that don't make sense, I agree with you. I was confused about the politics of this town, the old man who's rich, the mayor, but more importantly, the cop. The cop who...
I forgot about
And
him.
I know this is like a little bit of a deep reference, but the cop looks like Dr. Eggman from Sonic. And the cop makes a speech at the end of the movie to rally the town that I rewound because I don't believe it makes any sense.
Oh, and
like
this
he
is,
left
this
out
is,
a couple will, of lines.
I will say, this is, he has been the lead actor's nemesis. But it's like, so Hal Needham also made Smokey and the Bear, okay? Right? And their relationship is a lot like, no, Smokey and the Bandit, sorry. Smokey the Bandit and BJ and the Bear was the TV show. Don't worry about it, guys. It all happened. So it's about a cop chasing a trickster roadster played by Burt Reynolds. This is the same exact dynamic, but with them on bikes.
But I would argue the cop is a friend. The whole movie, like, when they're racing through the
revealed
thing.
Here.
No, but in the first scene when they're going through the log thing, he's like, uh-oh, the cops are, he wants to race us. Who wants to do it this time? Oh, I'll do it. Like, it wasn't
oh,
like.
Oh, I thought he was there to
bust
them.
Yeah, he was there to bust. I think you read that moment wrong, Paul.
Oh.
Really?
Wait, was he there to bust them?
Yeah, of course
wait
he was.
Wait a minute.
No, he was just there to race them, and that's why they said, yeah.
Wait.
That's insane. Wait. That's insane, and that
wait,
didn't happen.
Who thinks he was there to bust them, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
we
who thinks
win.
You're there to race them?
Yeah.
You guys are fucking idiots. Then he why does this scene only make sense
if
we perceived
yeah.
him story structure wise?
Guys,
it only
it
makes sense if this is a turn for the cop.
We're supposed to be completely shocked that this is happening.
No, I
otherwise, you're saying the script for this movie is nonsense.
And that's not possible.
And what we're here to say is how dare you.
Up.
This is flawless, classic storytelling.
I will tell you that I believe that...
I'm talking the Liz Estrada. No, I'm not trying to say I'm talking. I'm just talking about the Liz Estrada. I'm talking Shakespeare. I'm talking Rad. These are classics. Sorry, Paul. I wasn't trying to talk you down.
I will say that I think one of the things was this cop saw something in these kids. He's like, you know what? I'm going to challenge them every day because one day this town will get a shot and we will get on the map. And I am here to serve and protect. And I am going to protect
Paul?
That we
Paul.
Bring home Haltrack.
Paul, I'm so sorry, Paul. The part has been cast.
We are reboot crazy people. Put me in as Sergeant Eggman.
You're not getting this part. See, that's I agree with you. If this is the scene where you discover that's what he's been doing
no.
the whole time.
Yeah.
If you know he's been doing it the whole time, then what we're saying is what?
It's like nothing. That's insane, you guys. This is, stop.
These
His
are teenagers on BMX bikes. Their natural enemy
Damn.
Is the police.
His job is to serve and protect this town. He may, in like some area of his brain, enjoy watching their tricks and blah, blah, blah. But he's enforcing the whole time because he has to because that's his job. Despite every instinct he has, he sees what's going on. And for the first time in his life, he lays down all the rules and all the regulations. And he stands up for what he knows in his heart is the right thing to do. But it's not easy for him. It's not comfortable, but he does it anyway.
And you know how we know he's being real? For the first time in the whole movie, he takes his sunglasses off. He lets us see his soul
really
through
is.
His eyes.
Challenge.
He says, look at me for real.
I challenge Paul Thomas Anderson to do a better choice at directing an actor than that. Here is the speech that makes no sense. And And the best thing about Rad is you can interpret his motivation in a myriad of ways. He walks fully to the stage.
He walks the whole way.
I thought I heard it all, till now.
Oh, wait, does he not take him off?
I've watched these kids grow up. I've chased every one of them. I think Crew and his friends have done something special. Real special. They have given themselves hope, and all your talk about dollars is killing that hope. If someone doesn't see that Crew has this opportunity, well, I guess we'll just all have to learn to live with it.
I owe you guys an apology. Scene. He didn't take off the sunglasses.
But he pretty much did.
I almost feel like he put on a pair of darker sunglasses. Yeah.
In many ways, he did, though.
You know what? His words metaphorically took the sunglasses off for him.
If you are an acting student out there, if you are a professional actor, and they say, hey, bring a monologue next time you audition, well, I say...
To that end, I would say, bring the monologue for Miami Connection.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty great, too.
But if someone else in class is doing that, bring this.
That speech, we'll have to live with it.
Okay.
And he's like, we're talking about money, but what they were talking about was raising money for him to be able to race,
to compete.
Right?
Well, I am still grappling with the question of where did they get the capital money to buy all those T-shirts in the first place?
Oh, no. Well, that was that guy, the evil man in this movie, the BMX bad guy. He worked for Mongoose, as the small patch on his suit told us. So okay. He was a Mongoose person who's like, I spent millions in merch, and if this kid wins, I'll become very successful because I've like forwarded
if
his
Bart
career.
If Bart Connor wins. He needs Bart Connor to win the race. But you're asking, why does Crew...
No, but that's not my question,
babe.
Why
does
Initially,
Crew's
crew... Yes, yeah. Crew's crew with his sister, which we haven't even spoken about.
Oh, she was...
I talked about her.
So cute, I just want to shove her in a garbage can.
She originally, they were able to make $10,000 worth of T-shirts. Where did that money come from?
Yeah, the qualifying race
made $10,000.
Got him $10,000, and he used that money. Instead, remember, he was going to use that money to whatever he was going to do. He instead turns that into trying to get sponsorship because that's the next hurdle they throw in front of him.
With the rule book where they're keeping... they're adding rules at any given point. There's here's another new rule.
Took the 10 grand,
correct.
Invested it into the T-shirts.
Correct.
Thinking he would make it to
make
20.
The 20.
Keep in mind, also into painting his helmet and making a shirt for him to wear. But yes, that's where the 10,000 was.
Well, no. That shirt for him to wear wasn't that designed by that elaborate ploy where everyone in the school was building an outfit for him that was very lackluster, and one nerd was doing all of their homework?
Oh, yes.
Yes! I didn't see that.
What was that?
One nerd was like, one nerd, you do all their homework, and then we'll use all of their seamstress, their painting skills.
And everybody's, I'm here to color T-shirts. That was the other thing. They were dyeing white T-shirts
red
which was a thing we used to do.
It's cheaper to get that white material.
They missed a real opportunity to tie-dye that uniform. I was like, how fucking rad would it have been if that red shirt was tie-dyed? Fuck, we did a lot of that. Anyway, and so they make all that shit, and the kid comes in and he's like, well, I'm here to paint or color T-shirts. Here's my homework. And they hand the homework off to someone else who's just doing all of every subject.
Every 80s movie, smart kids are punished for being smart.
Oh, you know what? And this is what I was going to say, too, in the beginning. Smart kids are punished, and also parents treat their kids terribly because there's that opening scene where the mom's pulling out of the driveway and she goes, if you don't shut up! I was like, wow. We're getting hot early in the morning.
I'm going to be honest, I miss those days. I miss when people would just like scream profanities at their children in like the mall. Why don't you shut the fuck up?
By the way, you know, we keep on saying rad, and that wasn't the actual title of the movie. It was changed very late in the game, and I'll play this clip, and maybe you can see what the original title might have been.
Crow, you can do it. Just pretend you're in a lumberyard. Go balls out.
Balls Out was the name of this movie.
Wow!
June, you don't look like you like the title Balls Out.
I would argue if this movie had been called Go Balls Out, it would have won an Oscar. Every year since its release.
I mean, not to go back to the policeman's motivation, but after seeing that scene, it's just become clearer and clearer. He was just doing his job until he couldn't anymore.
Oh, my God.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I love Quince. Why do I love Quince? Well, maybe you should ask my 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater that I got for $50. Or maybe you want to talk to my washable silk top or some of my 14 karat jewelry. Well, you're wasting your time because they can't talk, but I can talk for them and say that Quince is the best because all their items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. How do they do it? Well, they partner with the top factories. They cut out the middleman, okay? And they pass the savings on to you. I love this wool Quince hat I have, but I also love my Quince quarter zip Mongolian cashmere sweater. It is truly one of my wife's favorite outfits. And when your wife likes one of your outfits, you know that you've done right. Anyway, indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/bonkers for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/bonkers to get free shipping and 365-day returns. That's right, quince.com/bonkers. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the news? Well, you are not alone. Listen to Love It or Leave It, hosted by former Obama speechwriter and comedian John Lovett. As a former White House staffer, he is no stranger to political chaos. But don't worry, that doesn't mean he's keeping a cool head in today's chaos-filled news cycle. Far from it. It is the only show where you hear Golden Globe winner Greta Lee give award-worthy readings of listener mail and Kathy Griffin go off on all things MAGA. Hold tight to your sanity and listen to Love It or Leave It wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, arguably, too, if you're talking about awards and handing out awards, I'm sure that Talia Shire just came off of Rocky. She read this script and was like, great part for me. Like,
but this
no
is,
reason
this
is to have her in this movie. She's great. She's not doing anything bad.
Because of Schwartzman, though, right? This is a Schwartzman Coppola family movie, I believe.
Oh, is it? Okay.
John Schwartzman, producer.
Oh.
Jack.
Okay.
Jack Schwartzman, producer, who I'm assuming is Jason's dad.
Oh, okay.
Who I believe that makes Talia Shire either a sister or a cousin.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, because I was like, it makes no sense that she agreed to that part in this movie.
And it also likely means that Nicolas Cage was almost in this movie.
By the way, huge missed opportunity for Nick Cage to play both twins.
Oh.
Amazing.
You know, in our remake, we have the offer out to Nick Cage to play both those parts.
At the age he is now.
He really wants to play twins again.
Now, did Crew?
Crew. Yeah.
Did Crew C-R-U. Ever take his SATs?
No.
No, in 6 months, right? Wasn't that the thing? He'll take them in 6 months?
Yeah.
But he'll miss college.
So we just never know if he took them or not.
Well, he doesn't need to now. He's number one in the world.
No, that was the whole thing. That was her whole thing.
Well,
regardless of the outcome, he was going to take them.
If his mom had been a little bit more forceful and maybe said, you know what? Unless you take those SATs, no racy.
Oh.
There's the guy that kept saying no racy. I thought that was going to get a much bigger response, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. Because I wrote it down because I was like, I don't like that this guy keeps saying no racing, no racing. Really thought that was going to hit. You know what, Chicago? I don't like you anymore.
You know it was...
No, it's over for us. Take your Lou Malnati's and get the fuck out of here.
We talk a lot about the stunts in this movie, but I have to say the best stunt in the film was when Ray Walston, the older man in the movie, balances two coffee cups. They were not glued down. He kept that plate almost at a 90-degree angle at some point, and those coffee cups stayed on
top. I thought, once I saw that, for sure he was going to be in the hell race at the end.
Yeah.
By the way, I would have loved that.
I was waiting for it.
And it was his $27,000 that made up the gap.
Yeah, what's his background? Where did he make
his
money?
I'm unclear where he has that money from.
He worked in a place where someone else is there. We know that there are two coffee cups where he likes to drink a lot of coffee.
So because that's no small chunk of change to just throw to a random kid in the town.
Yeah.
He is shark tanking it. He sees potential and he's like, I'm going to sit on $26,000 worth of merch because I know I'm going to resell that shit in a couple of weeks and I'm going to get my money back.
I would finance currently a movie that stars just him and the little sister solving a mystery or something.
She was amazing. She was baby Catherine Hahn.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
She was so good.
She was like the equivalent of the little brother in Teen Witch.
Yeah.
Let's hear...
I take it back. That's the movie I want. I want a movie where the brother from Teen Witch teams up with the sister from Rad and they solve a mystery.
If these movies were successful, you might have gotten it. Let's just have a little taste of the two of them together.
Crew, you were late.
Hey, forget that. What was that terrorist act all about back there?
It just bugs me out how the stupid kids think Bart's so rad. You're better than him. And if you could race, you'd show him, wouldn't you, Crew?
I don't know. That Bart guy's pretty good, Wes.
Bullshit. Mom's not here. Come on, let's go faster.
Hey, Wes, how about a shower?
What are you doing?
There's like some actual real stunts with kids that were stressing me out.
Yeah.
I thought maybe what we might be fun is if we went through the dance bike section, we can maybe keep the volume down a little bit and just talk through what we're seeing, because this is the scene that I feel like we do need to kind of go through. I'll keep in mind again,
this is at what appears to be a school dance, but is in fact a town-wide dance.
Yeah. Lori Loughlin comes in.
Man,
Lori Loughlin comes in. She like rides the bike into the dance hall, which is an odd choice. There's no one else there. Then he goes in after her. He's never bike danced before.
Could you pause for a second?
Yes.
This would make so much more sense if they had been boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
If their relationship was such that there was more energy between them, so that she was choosing Crew instead of Bart Connor in a way that was more meaningful.
Well, Crew had a crush on a young woman named Katie at the beginning of the film.
Who appeared to hate him.
Yeah.
Everybody in town is so dazzled by both the fact that he's such a good, nice boy, or he's totally rad on that bike. She
Balls
is like,
out.
He chases her, and he's like, will you go to the dance with me? And she's essentially like, go fuck yourself, Crew. I don't know what she's up to, but she's not playing the game.
She doesn't want to be with a BMX dirt riding.
You know
hick.
What? Listen, where she's coming from is just like, she doesn't like the mode of transportation. She's like, what are you going to pick me up in?
I thought she couldn't go to the dance because she has to take care of her two children because she's 40.
I said, is this a teacher? That's like, because she's so dismissive. Like, I felt like her line was going to be, Crew, I'm your teacher. This is inappropriate. Or actually, wait, what year is it? It might be totally appropriate. Unclear.
I will say their meet cute between Crew and Lori happens because a woman is in her car. She's like, the oven's on. My cake will get burnt. It's like, all right, let's stop the parade and get this woman to get to her cake.
That woman was not right. She was not.
What, the town cake lady?
Yeah, she left me feeling very unsettled.
She also left her home while the oven was on.
Yeah.
No, she's not
she
a well person.
She started baking and went
she's
out for an errand.
She's not okay, you guys. Something's very wrong with
there's
her.
There's no oven and there's no cake. And there's probably
later
no
on,
house.
Later
she lives
on
in
the
that
town
car.
Council, or whatever the fuck that was, at the town meeting, and then again when they're watching the qualifying races. I mean, she's obsessed with Crew.
If she is, she is sexually obsessed
with
Crew.
Him. It's
like the real love story should be told from her point of view towards Crew. The reality is, if you have this few people to round out the town, don't shoot it in an enormous room and don't add extra chairs that aren't full. I'm not even kidding. There are more
so
people.
So many extra chairs.
So many empty chairs that are just reminding you. Either people are not coming to town meeting or they cannot afford any more extras. Honest to God, more people showed up at the Stars Hollow town meeting every week than showed up to this town's meeting.
Well, Jason, if you're saying they couldn't afford extras, you probably think this is a low-budget movie, right? How much money do you think this movie cost to make? In 1986.
1986.
Okay.
$4 million.
Yeah.
To make?
Yeah.
To make, you're asking,
yeah,
right?
The budget. Yeah, yeah. The budget of the movie in 1986.
$4 to $6 million.
Okay, June?
I'd say about $3
million. Okay. $11 million.
Where?
$11 million in 1986.
Paul, that's like $46 million right now. Genuine question. Did they build the town? Did they build all of the infrastructure of a small American town, because that is the only way they spent $11 million to make the movie rad.
Because, and this is maybe a little inside baseball, but there's not even many interiors in this movie. It's all daytime exteriors, which is the cheapest thing to shoot. $11 million, and when it came out in opening weekend, it did make $408,000.
I don't know. Maybe it was on all those BMX racers. Maybe they just really, like, you know, wanted to make their quotes. How much could they possibly have cost?
By the way, they're getting sponsored. Yeah, I mean,
all of their brands are being represented in the movie. That's like product placement, essentially, all over the movie. By the way, if you're Mongoose, why are you letting yourself be like the douchiest? Why you get like, if you're Mongoose, you're like, great, we'll be in the movie. And you're like, everybody's gonna hate your brand. Everybody's gonna associate you with the twins and the blonde douche.
Well, there were rad vans. Like, vans got in on this too. Well,
Coca-Cola 7-Eleven.
What is it?
Coca-Cola and 7-Eleven.
Oh yeah, Coca-Cola. Yeah, like,
oh,
yeah.
Vans, I believe, is in some sort of lawsuit with rad. Is
oh
one
really?
Of, one of the only bits of trivia I do know.
Lots of
message boards about this movie, by the way.
Limited edition Vans rad shoes. Look at the, you know, it goes, this shoe is only available at your local authorized participating
Paul,
Vans dealer.
Can I ask this audience a question? Is anybody here wearing the rad shoes? I feel like it's something that could be possible at one of these shows. And the answer is no. You failed us, Chicago. That's two strikes, baby. Two strikes.
All right, so we were watching the dance scene. We'll get back to the dance scene. But I will say, when we're talking about, oh, it would be great if Lori was maybe dating Bart, I would argue it would be great if Bart was anything evil. He simply seems to show up, be cool, dance, and not really get in Crew's face at all.
He's the best. He's the best guy at this. We know he's already established as the champion.
Yeah.
You know,
he just seems like, I don't know, if Al Pacino came to your town, he would be just as aloof as Bart. Like, he's like, yeah, hey.
And what's interesting about it
is, why is Pacino coming to town?
Pacino was originally
supposed
to be...
Oh, for the acting off?
Yeah.
Is your town? Did your town host the acting off?
It was a Super Bowl of acting competitions.
What's interesting about his performance is that I actually thought he was doing a great job playing one of those guys, like a snowboarder who's just like... Yeah, I'm really good. I'm here. I've got not a ton going on up here, but that's okay. Like, not a lot of light behind the eyes.
But it like, I'm here
very
to do the,
well,
you, I'm here to do the thing you've
I'm
asked me to do.
Yeah, and when I'm done with that, I'll leave.
By the way, Bart, Olympic gymnast Bart, married to Nadia Comaneci.
Oh wow!
There they are getting married up there. You see them right there.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
They look so happy.
And here is Bart just talking about Rad.
When I look back at the film all these years later, people often talk to me about Rad. And it's kind of funny because literally I meet people who know the movie Rad, but have no idea that I used to be an Olympic gymnast. They just know me from Rad. I mean, literally, I have strangers. I'll be walking down the street and a guy will stop me and go, "Dude, Bart Taylor! Awesome!" And then they just keep walking. And it's all these years later, and I still get it. And who would have thought that the film would have such an intense cult following? But I'm really proud of that. So many...
That's, he seems like a very nice
lovely
man.
Guy.
Yeah, so...
I wonder if people come up to him and are like, "Gymkhana, right?"
By the way, if you're recognizing that dude from Red, you are on a facial level of recognition that is... unknown to me.
Very different.
It's only like you're like, all right, so now it's 2018. Here's a guy in 1986 who was a child. Got it.
Yeah.
I don't think I could recognize my family that I haven't seen in a couple years.
Yeah.
Did anyone else find it troubling that the prize was not a bicycle?
It was...
But a car?
Yeah, that is odd, right? All right, so we'll just watch a little bit of this dancing. And the thing that it was so kind of, and I guess I, like, who gives a shit? But I am at least, like, they just start bike dancing as if it was a thing that he's done before. Like, you can't just be like, "Follow me." Like she's, like, gliding on the bike. And you think maybe they'll just do tricks to each other. But they're not doing tricks. They are bike dancing. Here we go.
To a different song.
Lit like they're at the Olympics, like, and I don't know where they're getting that height and jump from because there's no ramps in there. They're, yeah. So this is
this
like
song done. Is fucking awesome.
All the like, songs.
This is amazing. Like, this is. There's nothing more erotic than this.
Can you just describe that? Because I just want to, like, for people...
She's basically gliding in like a dance position on top of the bike like a goddamn angel sent from heaven above, as the song tells us.
Oh, I mean, the songs... I would listen to this soundtrack and body rock all
guys,
day long.
I urge you to go home tonight and fuck to this soundtrack. It's on Spotify.
How about Break the Ice? That's a good song, too. Break
yeah.
the Ice. Yeah, so she's, like, doing this, which I don't think is a possible move. This is not a move. He's just still... He's doing his jumping. She's flying.
I love this.
Looks a little bit like Kerry Russell and the Americans there. Everyone's, like, not, you know.
They're not looking at each other.
Yeah. They're just showboating.
Who's that kid? I don't know.
These are the old men at the dance.
Who have been set up to be getting drunk.
Yeah, they've been putting alcohol in the children's punch.
Now they are standing on the bus. They're going so slow. That's something that makes me... You can't slow a stunt.
That, look at this. Oh.
What if this happened in, like, Born Supremacy? Like, he just...
Hey, guys, what are you doing?
Don't clap for them. They're going too slow.
Yeah, if this was in real time, it would look really bananas.
Send me an angel! Guys, I mean,
As Jason said, "Send me an angel," we see Crew lying flat on his bike. Arm extended.
I mean, this is unreal.
You know what? We're having so much fun talking about the show. I have to get in the audience here and talk to them about this movie as well. I want to point out that someone brought this amazing sign. If you remember in the film, there is a moment, a non-ironic moment, where Crew meets up with Lori. They're in an ice cream shop, and he tries to get her back. Can you pass that to me? Great, thank you. And they're in an ice cream shop, and it says, "Having a friend like you makes me happy all over." And he points to it like, yeah. And it doesn't make any fucking sense. This is amazing. Thank you for making that. What's her name? Christy? Thank you, Christy. We can give it back to you, too. We can keep it, or we can give it back to you. I don't want to think that we just took it from you like, aha, it's ours.
It's ours now.
Yeah. All right, I'm
going to kiss it all night long.
I'm going to go down there. I have to come down this way. I'm looking for a title that you think, a one-word or two-word title that you think would be great for this movie. As you ask your questions, I want you to think about that, a one- or two-word title. Who has a question? Something they want to point out. Yes, sir, come here. All right? And I'm going to, you're not going to take the mic, and you're going to do the best job at looking at this mic to talk to it, because I get yelled at that people can't hear the people that are asking questions. All right, here we go. Sir, your name?
Tom.
And your movie title?
Wigtown.
Nice.
So two things. I was also enamored with the twins in the movie. So first thing, so I looked into Rod and Rex. They are now successful screenwriters, and they wrote The Conjuring and The Conjuring 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the jumpsuits that they wear at the dance were borrowed from the set of the miniseries V.
I wrote down on that thing, I go, these people look like they're from V, and then I said, I can't make that reference because it will date me. We have someone in the audience dressed
Someone's wearing one.
Please stand up next to him, dressed in Lori Loughlin's X-Men outfit. Look at this, very exciting.
Wait a second.
Three costumes. Three amazing costumes.
Can I ask you guys a question? Are you also Hal Needham's family?
Please take a picture of them. We'll put that up in the show page.
Guys,
so you can see.
Those are three people that want to talk to you after the show.
Who else? Sorry, over here. All right, sir, your name, your title, and your question.
My name is Nick. My title is Screw College.
Got it.
And my question is, looking at the ending credits on my copy, a lot of names were blanked out. And I was wondering if we know any reason why these people opted not to be referenced.
I am looking at this picture that you've taken. Yeah. Wow. It is like, it's like classified document level blocked out.
Like the a redacted cast list?
Yeah.
Wait, Paul, where did he say he found that?
In his copy. Again,
this
is a copy that people are getting in ways that only true fans will get it.
They're not sanctioned, yes.
We don't know where it's all coming from. All right, I want to get a lady here. A lot of guys. Where is it? Right, here, okay. All right. We'll get to you, too. Hold on. All right, your name, your title, your question.
My name's Laura. My title is Radical Youth. And my question is, can we get, like, an age for Lori? Like, because she's dating a teenager, but then she also says she's the top BMX biker in the world, and she's traveled the world, so I'd really like to get an age on her.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, she's not a high school student.
I don't think so. I'm going to say she's, like, 20 and he's 18. No? No, I'm sorry. I'm not saying the actors are that. I love the guy in the audience that just went, nope. I can tell you Lori Loughlin's exact age at the exact moment she was making this movie. You, sir, are wrong.
I think she's meant to be a bit older.
Yeah.
And I'm up in the balcony now. All right.
Paul, Be careful. The balcony is dangerous.
All right. Can you come to me? I can't come to you or I'll die. Okay, sir, your name, your title, and your question.
My name is Martenzi. The title is She's 20, He's 18. And my question is, who is watching the sister of Crew? She is just roaming around town most of the movie.
Yeah, like, while the mom is ironing in the basement.
That was the 80s too. That's the age.
I feel like that's like the town is raising that girl.
Yeah.
Like,
I wasn't worried about her.
You know, but I also wouldn't be surprised if she ended up like being abducted on a train car.
No, for sure.
And being taken somewhere. Yeah. I don't know.
No, she didn't make it.
No, yeah.
Out of there. Yeah. Definitely not.
By the way,
the sequel is not so rad for the sister. She passes.
Didn't make it.
I just had a thought here too. I just realized the mom had no reaction when the brother put her in a garbage can. She didn't say like, "Hey, stop that."
Well, she knows that girl is trash.
Did we ever find out how their dad died? There was some mystery surrounding that.
I agree. I suspect foul play.
All right, here we go.
Oh boy.
There. All right.
I feel like that.
Yes. Okay,
is
sir. Your
trouble.
Name, your question, and then you can show me your pictures.
You can show me
Craig.
Your pictures?
So at one point when Rad Racing is selling the shirts, the Mongers crew shows up in what appears to be the Corvette that is the prize for the race.
He has proof that it's, yes.
Yeah, like.
Okay, dude.
Yeah,
did
we would have believed you.
Car? Like, why are they driving that car?
Paul, is that's a picture? That's a picture?
Is
yeah,
it a
it's
screen
a picture.
Grab
it's a picture.
Why do I
movie?
Feel like if we go to this dude's house, it's gonna be one of those red line, a wall of things, and he's like, "I'll bring this and I'll bring this," then they'll believe me.
No.
I'll be the final question.
I mean, I'm doing it honestly.
I will.
I'm also doing some.
I will not have any disagreement like they had about the cop if I bring my picture. But well, by the way, he's right. I guess they like kind of let
them.
Yeah,
they did. But I'm doing some rigorous investigation of myself because I just feel like, wow, have we presented a people up here that, like, you thought we wouldn't believe you? Like, we believe you.
I'll be honest.
We believe.
I'll be honest. I'm inclined to not believe you, but I'm more scared of you that you brought the picture.
I believe that he is a member of that small town who finally is trying to get that town meeting to pull it all together again.
Was that picture like a glossy photo or what?
It was a computer printout, to be okay. fair.
Oh, so this dude's like, "Oh, don't worry, I've got a color printer." So, you know what? I take it all back. It's a fucking brag. It's a brag. He was like, "I'm going to bring my picture
That's
so that everybody knows
yeah.
I've got cayenne yep. toner at home."
It had
That's
nothing to do
That's just the kind
with
of
us.
Fuck I am.
And I applaud the use of a picture because it is a podcast.
Oh, wait, can I get house lights up once again just briefly? I'm so sorry. I just want to acknowledge everybody. If you're wearing a Rad Racing shirt, please stand up.
All right, we got one.
I like it.
Two.
Security, get them out of here.
Okay. Obviously, we have opinions about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
I'm watching a film, loving it all. It's the thrill of a movie. They say it's bad, I say it's a ball. And I just got a comment, they're calling me stupid, saying this movie's putrid. Well, I've had enough, I'm going on to Amazon. It's my second opinion. Terrible feelings. I'm giving it 5 stars. I don't care if you don't like it. I won't take it back because it's already on the internet.
Yes! Give it up for Sarah.
Give it up for Sarah.
That was great. And if you want to hear 5 other ones,
Stay tuned for after the episode, and we'll put them all back to back there. We didn't want to cut any of them out because they're so damn good.
You know what's interesting? They just all left, right?
Yes.
Two of them sat in the lower audience. The vast majority came from the balcony. The balcony's not afraid. Oh, no, a couple of them went over there. Guys, so, I'm all wrong tonight.
Here we go. Rad, second opinions. These are cold from Amazon. Like I said, this is only available on Amazon in a bootleg version. There are only...
But always available on my computer from here on out. I will always have it.
There are only 110 reviews total because, again, there's no official seller. But I will start off with this one, and it may be a little navel-gazy, but why not? The title is Paul Scheer, I Hope You Like the Movie. By Kyle from Georgia. I sent the copy I bought to Paul Scheer at How Did This Get Made? Hopefully they'll do an episode on it because it's one of the best movies of all time.
Wait a minute.
Five stars.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
That means your name on Amazon is your own name? So anybody who sends you stuff from Amazon knows it's you?
Oh, no. He sent it to the address that we have for the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It didn't
okay.
just arrive at our
say,
home.
That is... If that person has your home address, move. I wanted to hand deliver this copy of the movie Rad and also let you know the exact age of Lori Loughlin when she made the movie.
This one is from Regina. Regina writes, husband about peed from excitement of finally being able to buy this on DVD. Thank you. Five stars.
That is a couple that is into water sports.
Peter F. Loader writes simply this. He watched it four times the day he got it. Five stars.
Wait, he said he watched it or I watched it?
He watched it four times the day he got it. I don't know.
Wait. There's not previous information.
Nope.
That points
no,
to
but
the...
No, you're not saying...
What are you talking about?
Yeah, okay. Hold on. The balcony's got us all mixed up.
Wait, I
you're
swear
speaking.
To God, it's all balcony. It's all balcony people that write these reviews.
He also titled the review five stars.
So the title of the review is five stars, and then it says, he watched it four times the day he got it.
Yes.
This review is haunted. Sounds like a balcony monster.
And finally, I don't know if this
don't
is funny,
that.
But it's intense. This is from Andrew F., and he goes, I am a huge Rad fan. It was my favorite movie growing up and still is. I've seen this movie hundreds of times on VHS and on a DVD copy I bought years back. The DVD quality wasn't much better than the VHS, but at least it had a menu with chapters that I could watch on a DVD player. I have always tried to keep an eye out for a better quality DVD and was skeptical when I found this because it said HD quality, and I found that hard to believe because this movie has never been released on DVD. I figured I would give it a shot because it was only $20. Let me tell you, it's the best $20 I've ever spent. The quality is unbelievable. It looks better than some Blu-rays, no joke. I don't know how they got it to look so good, but it's well worth your money. I was telling my brother how good the movie looked, and he thought I was full of it until he watched it. 10 minutes into the movie, he was like, I'm gonna go on Amazon and buy myself a copy. If you are a fan of this movie, you need to buy it now. You will not be disappointed. I tip my hat to Frankie's Custom Classics. I don't know how you got the movie to look so good, but job well done. I have been waiting for something like this for a long time. Thanks. Five stars.
Oh, wow, Paul. You really embodied that gentleman.
That was amazing.
That was a transformation.
That's a
my
monologue
very eyes.
You should use,
absolutely.
Paul. That
yeah,
is.
I mean,
that's my
contemporary monologue.
That I guarantee that dude A is single and B talks about Rad on first dates 100%.
All right. So we've said a lot about Rad. I wanted to go and ask you, Jason, would you recommend this movie?
1,000,000%. This movie, and I will say, if that's what the Vimeo or whatever copy looked like, it looks like trash. The copy I saw, it was much more in line with what this gentleman was saying. The transfer was fantastic.
Dave, the colors, Custom Classics.
The colors were popping. The dancing was both erotic and also romantic. Two things that I just adore. I thought the ass slides into sewage was an interesting choice, but I enjoyed it. I thought the little sister was a home run. This movie, T to B, top to bottom, was fucking rad.
June.
It's hard, you know. I know people like this. I see the numbers, I hear the response, I see the t-shirts. I know that there's an audience out there.
You
clearly
see the cosplay?
There's a cult following. I don't understand it.
Do you think if you watched it 7 more times, you would?
No, I mean, at a certain... Listen, this movie's not for me. It's just not anything that I care for. So, I had a really difficult time watching it. I hope to never watch it again. I know I'll never drag that file over into the trash. But I did not like it.
I will say, like that stranger whose eyes widened when they saw Bart Connor walking down the street 30-some-odd years after the completion of this film, my eyes, too, were open to the balls-out nature of this film, which I also say is rad.
Okay.
This, yeah.
Okay.
This, to me... This sits comfortably in the pantheon of movies such as Miami Connection.
Yes.
These are movies to me that are like a cut, not just because their t-shirts are similar, the red shirt with the black text. This was a pretty spectacular film.
100%. Here's the deal, people. There's so many people to thank here for the show. Nate Kiley, who does all of our research. Good on him. Good on all the people sending me all that rad merch. You've convinced me. We did it. Hats off
but
to
also,
fuck
the S-Man.
Yeah, I mean, thank
but
you.
But also, fuck you on behalf of June and I for sending us zero merch.
Nothing.
and a big thank you to... Avril Halley, who cut all these amazing clips and found that clip of the Olympic gymnast. So, so good. As we wrap up the show here, because we are running a little bit late, I'll just ask, does anyone have anything they want to plug?
So, at the end of this month, Adult Swim is going to air June 24th at midnight. Adult Swim is going to air a special that I made with Brian Husky, Jesse Falcon, and Rob Corddry. It's called Mr. Neighbor's House 2. It basically posits the idea, what if David Lynch created the Mr. Rogers Show? It is super dark and fucked up, and it's very funny. So please watch that.
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good. Well, I'll simply plug that we have a brand new website. It's HDTGM. That's how this get made, all the initials. HDTGMinfo.com. You can find out everything that you need to know about this show on that page. It's awesome. And I have a new podcast miniseries with Amy Nicholson called Unspooled. Thank you very much. Unspooled, which you can get anywhere where podcasts are heard. We actually watch good movies, and it's been super fun to do that. Thank you, Chicago! All right, it is now time for second opinions.
All right. Yep. Good? All right. How does a badly acted cinematic pile of shit get past the studio and get green lit? How did these actors get roped into this garbage fire? Lori Loughlin, I can see, but come on, really? Talia Shire? Movie about BMX? Who the hell asked for this? A choreographed dance scene on bicycles? Are you serious? Cost $11 million. Pray to God it makes it back. Otherwise, this thing is headed down on a hell track. Well, the word got around. They said, damn, this film is real bad. All the critics hated it and said it wasn't very rad, but a few brave souls tried to save its good name, so they went online to earn their fame. What's your claim, man? Here's my second opinion. This film deserves 5 stars on Amazon. But it still left me with one big question. How the fuck did this get made?
Give it up for Brian. Give it up for Brian. Brian, come on over here. You stand over here.
That one's for Lin-Manuel Miranda, everybody.
It is now time for Second Opinions.
Yes, I believe that this movie was good. I know I'm not alone. The bicycle dance was my favorite scene. It still holds up, it's true. Lori Loughlin, Talia Shire was great too, and some guy that plays crew. I got a long on to Amazon to give this movie its due. BMX racing gets my heart pacing. Got a review to do, a review to do. Critics say it's bad, but I love Rad.
Yeah.
Second opinions, second opinions. Woo. Five stars, five stars. Second opinion, second opinion.
Amazing. What's your name?
Mallory.
Mallory. Give it up for Mallory. Come on over here. Chicago, you got great songs. They're all long. You got them. They're great. All right. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Don't stop me now, cause I got a strong opinion. Gonna post it online. Don't ask me how this movie even got made. This movie's a favorite of mine. I'll use poor spelling in my second opinion. All caps like I'm yelling. These are second opinions. Five stars on Amazon.
Give it up for Bree. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Frozen in silence, watching this rad flick. Gotta keep my cool, watching them do sweet ass tricks. It's a game of wills we're playing. Opinions made of steel. Balanced on the edges of everything I feel. It's gonna take all we've got just to make it through this plot. Gonna do it on Amazon and buy this crap tonight. Get ready to rate five stars. Feels like no one else agrees. Typing it in all caps. I'm gonna make you see. Only I can make it right. I can rate this shit five stars tonight.
Beautiful.
Give it up for Jeff. Come on over here, Jeff.
Great commitment.
It is now time for Second Opinions.
All right, stop. It's time for Second Opinion. Saw a rad film, now I got a new mission. This movie did everything so rightly. Bought the DVD, watch it daily and nightly. I gave it five stars, why? I don't know. Just turn off the lights and enjoy the show. Yo, to the extreme, I write reviews like I'm Cisco. This movie did it right, but it failed in the fiscal sense. It's not as good as The Room, still sweeping up Razzies like a bomb-ass broom. Avril Haley, making clips like a melody. A movie this good should count as a felony. Jason and Paul here to show you the way. Go balls out, you know, crew don't play. If there is a plot hole, yo, June will solve it. Check out the flick while the disc is revolving.
Yeah! Woo! Colin, give it up for Colin. All right. Give it up for all
give it
of
up.
Our second opinion people. Thank you. Walk off the stage there.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
What I will say
Paul? The other 10-second opinions are ready to go.
No.
So bring them in. Jeff
Round
Tweedy,
two.
Chance the Rapper, Ken Vandermark, Chicagoans.
Earlobe.
Hey, it's Jason Mantzoukas wishing Scott and everybody else of all stars and stripes a happy 15th anniversary, Comedy Bang Bang. You goddamn did it. Eat shit. Hang on, man. Comedy Bang Bang. Comedy Bang Bang.